Let's get right into our fishing forecast for your weekend with Captain Wayne Miller on the Mobile Tensile Delta. How you doing, Wayne?
Doing great, Alan. It's been a good week on the Delta, so really looking forward to the weekend, even though we look like we're going to have a little bit of maybe a little nasty weather, but I like the cooling off part, man. I know all the hunters are excited about this weather cooling off, but the fishermen are too.
Well, people like you that can go fishing any day they want to really had it made this whole week. It's beautiful, cold mornings, a little foggy first thing in the morning on the water, but are the fish cooperating?
Yeah, you know, the bite's been just spectacular this week down on the causeway, but, you know, I've been telling, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people, and I'm telling them, you know, it's kind of odd because you know, the rain event we had this past weekend was just very you know, unique for South Alabama. I mean, we just don't see that kind of rain in October. And it really messed up a lot of water. I mean, there were some creeks like Baymanette Creek that man, the fish and all in the creek and in the basin and everything had really been just spectacular the week prior to that. You know, it really shut that down just because it got so muddy. So there are places down on the causeway that even now they're still very slow in cleaning up. But the good thing is, you know, in the bays and the creeks, we've got so much grass that if you get around that grass, you get anywhere that, you know, that water has, you know, gets filtered some, you can still, you know, throw the, you know, this is standard fall baits down there. I mean, I've talked to a ton of people that are catching them on small white spinner baits. Of course, a lot of people are throwing the, you know, some of the inline spinner baits like the Bruiser Sally. That's been working real well. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of people fishing live shrimp, but there's people catching them on DOAs and the Voodoo also. So it's, you know, the I guess the real story this week has been really trying to target that cleaner water. And as we move through the weekend, I don't think we're anticipating a lot of rain out of this system. So I think going into next week, what we're going to see is that water is just going to continue to clean up even more. And, you know, the bite should stay really strong.
Well, the tide's going to be moving out all day, both Saturday and Sunday in the Delta. The high tide occurs at 5:19 in the morning on Saturday and 6:04 in the morning on Sunday. So we're going to have moving water going out until about 4:30 in the afternoon. So that should help. I've heard some really good reports this week from the crappie guys on the Delta. How's the water? I know the water's still kind of muddied up in the southern part of the Delta. How's the water doing in the middle part?
The middle looks pretty good, you know, and I've been some in the middle. In fact, I went out in the middle this morning. You know, I've been seeing some guys. Matter of fact, I talked to a guy this morning that has been catching the white perch pretty good. But... You know, obviously, you know, I mean, most of the bass guys are really starting to target the lower end along the causeway now because it's just, you know, it's strictly a numbers game and you can really rack them up. But I think you're right. I think the white perch bite will probably continue to be strong and should get even better as this water, you know, continues to clean up more.
Well, the moon times are good, too. On Saturday morning, it's 7:37. The moon will be straight over our heads, and that should really help the fish bite and also the deer move when the moon's straight over or straight under a little better. So for the deer hunters out there, Saturday morning, unless you're getting wet, it should be a good day to hunt.
Yeah, you know, we're getting to that time of year where, you know, it's pretty neat to live here on the coast and, you know, you got to make decisions about do I want to go hunt, do I want to go fishing, and fortunately we've got some pretty good hunting and fishing, so it's that's kind of problem you want to be faced with on the weekend.
It's going to take some strategic planning.
That's it.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, man, and have a safe weekend.
All right. Thank you, Alan.
All right, let's go to the Causeway, the Upper Mobile Bay along the Causeway with Mr. Mike Thompson. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, fellas.
Hey, well, Wayne just shared with us that the Causeway fishing for bass is good. What about the redfish, speckled trout, crabbing, all that?
All the stuff that we've been waiting for as far as the speckled trout fall fishing is here. And Wayne was describing that heavy-duty rain event we had. You know, we had 5 or 6 inches of rain, but a lot of it was local, so it muddied up the top of the rivers, but the specks and reds moved to the bottom. They moved down on the bottom where the salty water is, and they've just been great catches caught in the last 5 days. Lots of limits caught. They're catching them on live shrimp when you can get the shrimp, and they're also catching them on grubs. So, I mean, it's not any one particular place. If you're a regular that fishes the Causeway and fall, you know the places to go. Grand Bay, Raft River, Tensaw River, Blakely River, Appalachia, they all got specks and they all got reds. It just, you know, wherever you go, it might be a different game to play. You know, sometimes it's live shrimp under a cork and sometimes it's topwater. You know, so it's really going on now, and the cooler it gets, it's just going to intensify.
How's the shrimp supply holding up?
They're starting to have a little trouble getting the shrimp, but they're still getting them. So, you know, want to maybe call ahead. They'll have the shrimp in the mornings, and they tend to run out after the big rush. Another thing is that we talked about in the past is because of the launching situation on the Causeway, when there's a big crowd, and there's a big crowd every day during the week now that the word is out and the fish are biting, it's pretty difficult to launch at some of these launches. And one of my friends was over there, and he said, you know, when you're by yourself, you need somebody to help you. So if you're at the launch and you're thinking, I wish this guy would hurry up and get out the way, well, why don't you walk down there and grab his rope and help him launch his boat or help him get his boat in so you can speed the process up? Because, you know, we do have a shortage of launches because of the problems over there. But anyway, that's something that people need to think about doing. Now, you know, I had mentioned to you earlier, I got a good report on white perch out at Big Creek Lake. One of my friends was out there basically showing some TV people around to do a little fishing show, and they caught white perch a couple of days in a row. He said they were relatively deep, 15 feet deep, and he said they caught them on Bobby Garland jigs in the pearl white color with the black pepper sprinkles in it. And he said these were some really nice perch. Caught a few bass out there, too. But any of the rivers that you go to this weekend, they're going to be full of fish. Dog River's full of speckled trout and reds. Theodore Canal still got that good sheephead bite going on. It's just incredible how good the fishing is, and it's going to be this weekend.
Well, you know, I was out on Fowl River last night helping a friend of mine install one of these underwater dock lights. And in East Fowl River, the water was extremely tannic. And so what about that rain event? Is it going to cause any problems, or you think most of that water is going to have moved out?
It's going to roll on out. The more north winds we got, the faster it's going to move out. And you mentioned Fowl. Got a good report on speckled trout and bass in the same exact area on live shrimp. So it's not shut the fishing down any.
Great report, Mike. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, guys.
We've got Mr. Captain Bobby Abrascato with us right now, and going to fill us in on the inshore side of things. How you doing, Bob?
Good afternoon, Al. Joe, how y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Doing great, man.
Are
just
you?
Wish we were out there fishing.
You're trapped inside that studio on a day like this. Mm-hmm. You guys are good men saying you're great. Because I tell you what, it has been some kind of beautiful weather here these last few days.
It was awesome, no doubt.
Yep, definitely fall. Fallish in the morning. Now, it gets nice during the day, but it's a little airish in the morning. Anyway, fished up the bay the last couple days and had a couple really, really good days. And then yesterday was a bit of a challenge for some reason. Anything really changed. I don't know what happened, but we struggled a little bit yesterday, and it just was, I don't think anything's, you know, dramatically has changed. But just one of them days where I didn't really get them real good, but I moved back down to the south today. It was my first trip back down here in a couple weeks, and we had a great day today. We caught a lot of really nice fish on top water early in the morning and then switched over to Voodoo's under corks the rest of the morning, and just left fish biting late morning this morning, just left them biting. It was a blast, you know. So the good news is it sounds like it looks to me like there's fish, you know, all the way down. At least I can speak to the west side and south end of the county down around in the Sound area. There's still a lot of fish out on the flats, some of the grass beds and shallow oyster flats on the south end, still loaded up with lots of fish. The other thing today, we caught some fish on top water today, and up north, I just haven't been doing well, even though I like to throw it early in the morning up there. I just haven't been catching the fish up there like I caught them today down south, and I guess it just means a lot of the fish down south are really kind of a little bit more on the fin fish deal, whereas up there, I think it's a shrimp thing, you know, because everything we're catching up north is under Voodoo's and Gulp under popping corks, shrimp imitations under popping corks.
So, Bobby, I know you mentioned you had a good topwater bite. And, you know, so last week we talked a little bit about currents. And when you're starting out in the morning throwing topwater, is there anything that you look for as far as how to work that bait? Are you working it across a current? Are you working into the current, with the current?
Well, a lot of times I try and throw, you know, it doesn't really matter with a topwater or any kind of hard bait what direction you throw it relative to the direction of the current, because and you're imitating a mullet with those type of bait. So it doesn't really matter which direction you throw it. Typically, I start out throwing it as far as I can downwind. You know, you're just going to get your longest cast downwind, so mm-hmm. I'm not too worried about it. But what I do notice is the direction that you throw that bait, and sometimes it starts to make a difference. So a lot of times if I'm throwing it, you know, 45 degrees or 90 degrees to the current, and I notice I'm starting to get bites, I keep casting in that direction. But typically I start out until I know for sure, I just kind of start throwing downwind so I can make really long casts. But then I'll kind of fan cast. You know, it's silly to keep throwing the same lure in the same direction. You know, if you're drifting along and you're throwing the exact same direction, you're just working over the same water. So I kind of picture like a little 45 degree fan, or, you know, maybe even a 90-degree fan, and every cast kind of move it over just a little bit. And there are times when you'll start to see that you're really getting a lot more bites pulling it in a certain direction, you know. So I will start concentrating on that, you know. And then there's other times like today. I mean, we had bites a couple times today to where, dude, you would throw it out there, and when it hit the water, a fish would blow up on it, you know. That's how good it was this morning. So, you know, there's days like that, which unfortunately are not the norm, but anyway, there are days to where it just doesn't really matter what you do. But it's a great question, man, because it's really important to understand that with not only topwater baits, but, you know, sinking mirror lures and slick lures or any kind of finfish imitation, paying attention to the direction that you're retrieving the bait.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what type of topwaters are you using right now?
We threw Skitterwalk. I'm a Skitterwalk guy. I'm just sold on the Skitterwalk. Now, I was throwing the full-size Skitterwalk, and then the fellow with me today was throwing the new Skitter V. It's the little bit smaller one with the kind of the, V-shaped belly, and it's a bit smaller. And we were kind of tit-for-tat as far as the bite. Surprisingly, you know, today we had, you know, almost slick conditions with maybe just a little breath of wind. And typically on those kind of days, I do better with a smaller topwater bait than a bigger one like I was throwing today. But today, it just didn't really even matter. So I'm a Skitterwalk guy, and I like pink, not because the color matters a whole lot. It's just when you get to be my age, it's a lot easier to see those brighter colors out there than, you know, when you're making a long cast, you know. So I don't think it matters to the fish as much as it does to me.
What type of line are you throwing when you're using that Skitterwalk? What kind of line do you have on your rod and reel?
I use mono for topwater for the reason being, number one, you can cast it a long ways. I use Trilene XL 10-pound test, mm-hmm. and I tie about a foot and a half 20-pound fluorocarbon leader to it, not with a swivel. I just use a knot-to-knot line, mm-hmm. A line-to-line knot. And the reason I do that is that real light line, a lot of times, if you're having problems with your line getting caught up in your hooks on your top water, mm-hmm. or going between your split rings, by putting that 20-pound fluorocarbon leader on there, because it's stiffer and the diameter's bigger, it eliminates that problem, you know. So, but I use mono because it floats, too, and it's also got a lot of stretch. But you don't want to use any kind of sinking line like fluorocarbon when you're throwing a topwater, obviously, because when you throw it out there, you know, the stretch of line between you and your lure is going to sink. And so as soon as you start working the lure, it's just going to pull it straight under the water. So I always use mono or braid. Some people like braid, and it also floats. I don't like braid. I like when I get a fish on the topwater, I want to have that stretch of monofilament. So that's what I use on mine. But a lot of people like braid, you know, again, because you can cast a long ways and you can, and it floats and you can get a hook set a little bit better with braid. But I've always felt like with topwater lures, the fish really hook themselves. You know, you can think you're hooking a fish, but you're not. That fish has really got to hook himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday, like I said earlier, I was out on Fowl River, and
Wait! I thought you said there weren't any fish in Fowl River.
Well, there aren't actually. I went out there to confirm that, and
okay, I got you.
And all so right. I can say with confidence that there are none there. Everyone should head to other places. But if one was to fish in Fowl River, and if there were to be fish in Fowl River,
I can tell you're a charter boat captain, right, buddy.
What I've always struggled with, Bobby, is when I'm working an area, when do you kind of give up on topwater?
It doesn't take long, Joe. It's if I'm not getting a bite, it's gonna have. I'm probably a little bit on the impatient side, but I get 10 or 12 casts, good casts, good quality casts, and I'm not seeing any bait on the surface, or maybe hear the occasional blow up on some bait, I'm pretty much out of there. I don't stay put very long. You're just not going to really, you should know if you're making quality casts in the right areas, you should at least be starting to get some bites. And then sometimes you can adjust what you're throwing or how you're presenting it if you get a few bites. But the other thing is, you well know, with topwater, particularly on days like this, you got a super short window. When you got a big bright sky like this, like the water we were fishing this morning, super, super clear, super shallow water, and you got like an hour and a half window of good topwater fishing, so you can't fool around trying to invent a bite. You better be where the fish are, on that. Now, you get those windy, cloudy days, you can get away with it a little bit longer, but like today, or any time when I know it's going to be bright like this, man, I'm going to go, and I ain't staying put long. If we get bit, if we don't get bit in 10 or 12 casts, man, I'm up and moving somewhere else.
Right.
All right. Especially if you're making good quality casts, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're getting your baits in there where there's surface activity and that sort of thing, you should be getting bit pretty quick. Trout are, when you get a topwater around them, when they're on the bite, they'll even when they're not biting good, just reaction bites, you'll get blow-ups,
All right, Bobby, you have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
All right. This time of year is a beautiful time to travel, and our northern listeners up in extreme north, let's say Montgomery, Alabama, that's extremely north for me, may want to come down and visit the Gulf State Pier. David Thornton keeps the magazine and the radio show informed on the Gulf State Pier, and he's with us right now to give us a report. How you doing, David?
Great, Alan. How about you? Enjoying this good weather, man.
Oh, I know it. I bet it's nice out there on the beach right now.
Yeah. We've had some days this week where, temperature, because the water's so warm in the Gulf still, the air temperature may drop, into the 40s, but it's still 75 degrees right over the water, and there's people with a jacket on wading around in the water. It's funny.
That's great. Well, let's talk about the fishing. What are people catching off the pier nowadays?
Well, the pier itself has been kind of slow. This is a great time of year, though, for whiting. And they're starting to stack up along the beaches, and that includes along the pier in the shallow end. So they're picking up a few slot fish. The flounder in the process of making the move out of the bays and all, along with a lot of other fish, with this change in the temperature. The bays cool off pretty quickly, and all the pogies and bait fish that fall out, big game fish will stack up along the Gulf beaches and especially around the passes, waiting for this migration to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pick them off as they come.
So you think the fall flounder run is actually starting to happen now?
I think it's, yeah, I've been hearing some things that things are beginning to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as usual, it starts with the bull reds. And bull reds have been at least a few at the pier every day. But the really hot spot lately has been in the Fort Morgan Peninsula and along some of the nearby beaches over at Dauphin Island. Any of the points are going to produce, you know, pretty well right now. Even up into the bay, places like at Pelican Point, where Weeks Bay spills into Mobile Bay, you know, there's been good catches there, and Fairhope Pier as well. Even though the Cedar Point Pier was torn up by Hurricane Nate, I understand they're in the process of rebuilding it, and that would be a good place as well this time of year for bull reds.
David, one of my weak spots is Pompano. I love to fish for Pompano, and a good friend of mine fishes for them over near Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, and he is just a little east of Destin. And he tells me that his best day ever fishing for Pompano was actually Christmas Day. So I want to know what's the report on the Pompano right now. Is there are they showing back up in any numbers?
Yes. Yeah. You know, they got you know, some keepers now, whereas we've just been catching, you know, a lot of hand sized or smaller Pompano, the juveniles. The adults are starting to move back in along the beaches because there's the change in the water temperature is stimulating a lot of movement from the sand fleas and coquina clams, ghost shrimp, other invertebrates out into the surf zone from the actual beach itself. So the fish key off on that, and Pompano especially are noted, you know, for the way that they roam around the beaches. They constantly moving around looking for something to eat.
Right.
They have a real high metabolism. They're sort of like, if relating birds to hummingbirds, you know, would be Pompano to fish.
Let's talk about there. Let's tell our listeners how to rig for Pompano and what kind of bait to use, Joe.
Well, I don't know what David uses. I know what I like is, it's called a dropper rig. Some people call it a chicken rig if I'm fishing with a surf rod. But the it's just basically like a two-hook rig, and I use what's called a Sputnik sinker. Some people just use a straight pyramid sinker, but a Sputnik, it looks like a spacecraft. It's got these prongs that stick out, and they bury into the sand. And what that allows you to do is use a circle hook or a kale hook, and that weight will actually hold your rig in place. And when the Pompano bites, he'll hook himself rather than you having to be there to, you know, set the hook with the rod. But my big thing this year, and I'm gonna give a plug to a company, they don't even know it, but fish bites. If you haven't used fish bites, you need to go get some pink shrimp fish bites, because they will make your life a lot easier. They stay on the hook really awesome. And I'm telling you, I tested this year. I use pink fish bites, same rod, same line, same everything. I did pink fish bites, and I had fresh caught live sand fleas, and I caught Pompano this year in the springtime 2-1 on fish bites.
Hmm.
Have you seen the same thing, David?
Pretty much, yeah. That's a great product. And like you say, it stays on the hook so well. You know, one thing I was going to ask you, Joe, is how you bait up the dropper rig, especially with a heavy weight like that. You know, you have to use it on a heavier duty rod, and you're usually throwing long distances. And the impact when that, you know, heavy rig hits the water would usually just rip your sand flea or shrimp right off the hook a lot of times.
Right.
So you're constantly thinking, you know, do I have any bait? You want to reel in. Well, with that fish bites, it stays on the hook a good 15, 20 minutes, even when fish are nibbling and biting on it. And I've caught multiple fish on a single little tab of fish bites. And what I like to do is, you know, just get a small piece, a little bigger than the end of your finger, and thread it up on that circle hook or that kale hook. And as it gets in the water, it starts to dissolve. The people that aren't used to, you know, working with it, they wouldn't know that that it gets soft and it puts out a scent trail.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of fishing is very effective, especially with the dropper rigs and the heavier weights, like you mentioned, on days when the surf is really rough. Now, the difference, a lot of times when I care to go, it's the calmer periods like what we're having right now after a few days of north wind, and the Gulf is really slicked off. There's no waves to tell you where the break is or anything like that. So often, instead of throwing out to a specific place on a sandbar break or something like you would on a rough day, I'm having to move around my bait around more to find out where the fish are holding, unless I can, you know, like see the color change in the water where the drop off is or such.
Right.
And so that's when I use the egg weights or a sliding sinker weight or something like that with a fish finder rig, which is just like people would rig up north, like for catfish on the bottom, with some kind of a sinker slide or an egg weight, and then a short leader about 15 inches long. And again, with the kale hook or a small circle hook, with just a piece of fish bites or, you know, any kind of a piece of shrimp or something on there, or sometimes both work real, real good.
Well, you mentioned, David, and this is something I'm glad you brought it up, because I want you to write an article for us about this in the magazine, but my weakness really is reading the beach and reading the water. I mean, I'm selfish. I just like to go out to my same spot and put out my three rods and sit back and wait and let the fish come to me. And some days it happens and some days it doesn't. But the guys I know that are, to me, the real Pompano whisperers, and not just Pompano, but all beach, you know, shore fishing guys that really know their stuff, man, I see them in the morning. They got one rod in their hand. It's usually got a jig on it. And they walk down till they see what they want, and they catch all they want because they know how to read the beach. So what can our readers look for, you know, as a spot to key in on if they do have some wave action?
If they have wave action, they want to watch the surf, how the waves behave. When you're standing on the shoreline and you're looking out into the water, the distance away that the waves not only begin to break where they pitch out and start to roll, the white water begins to roll, but any place where that white water suddenly stops and there may just be a line of foam from there, and then the swell continues up to the shoreline and plunges onto the shore, that delineates where the trough is. And fish anywhere, you know, are going to relate to structure, and out there on the sandy beach, those bars are the only structure around usually, but they still relate to it the same way. They're gonna hang on the edge of those drop-offs where they don't have to fight the pounding waves, and they're gonna wait for food to get carried to them. And when that wave rolls over the sandbar and it hits that deeper water and it stops rolling, whatever's been carried along with it is gonna come out right there, and the fish hang right along that edge of the breakers, waiting for the food to be brought to them. So if you can reach that distance from the shore, that's where you want to fish on a rough day.
That sounds like great information, only right here on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show, that you're going to get in-depth information like that, unless you just happen to subscribe or read Great Days Outdoors magazine, which contains an article every month by David Thornton, our good buddy. And thank you so much for the report, buddy. That was great.
All right, anytime.